Okay, we're recording now. Great. So, hello everybody. Welcome to the fourth episode of the Gamers Universe podcast. I am absolutely thrilled to be here with Alexis from the Gamers. She's the blog editor and communications manager there. So, welcome.
Thank you so much. It's a thrill to be here.
So, Alexis, would you mind telling me how you got involved with the Gamers?
So The Gamers, to give a little bit of a background, is a women's community. It's a community for women, for non-binary, for femme-identifying people who are comfortable in women spaces that center women. And it, you know, is for women who game, to connect with each other, to find each other, and to have this space where they can exchange ideas, play with each other. And I came to the Gamers because I have a background in the toy industry, as does one of the co-founders, Heather Ouida. And we kept being around each other within the toy industry. We were actually both working on a toy idea that was related to the gaming space. And I think that that kind of, at the same time that we were both working in the game and in the toy industry, Heather's path led her into really digging into the gaming industry and how, what that industry looked like. And she found herself realizing, she was at this conference, and I believe that the origin story is Niles Heron of Pop Dog was talking about how the, I'm really, really paraphrasing now, but basically that the community of gamers and the industry consists of, it's roughly 50-50 of women and men, and that is not reflected at all in the people who are making the decisions at the top in these big conferences in esports, and it's also not reflected in the way that we're advertising and marketing to, you know, the entire industry. It's very male-centric. And so we just saw this niche, this opportunity to create a space where women could find each other. And that led Heather down this path of talking to lots of women gamers and asking them, is this something that you'd be interested in? And there was this great response of people who were totally interested in joining a community where they could find each other and connect with each other, free of harassment, free of abuse. And you know, it's grown from there. We launched in March, and it's already been growing so quickly and really exponentially. We have launched Discord that has like over 3,000 members now in its first few months, which is very exciting. And our website is really growing. Our Instagram and Twitter are really growing. So it's been very exciting to be along for the ride.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely amazing. I joined, I think, like the Discord, I think it might have been like a month after launch, and I just thought it was a brilliant idea because no one else had really done it, and I just think it's important that gamers have a safe space to be in, you know, where they feel comfortable and they can meet people they want to play with and, you know, connect with people with similar interests, you know?
Definitely.
Yeah, and that's like one of the main goals for Gamers Universe as well. It's just to create a platform where everybody's welcome, everyone's safe, and just would like it to be a nice space, sort of like what you're doing, you know? And with that being said, what is the mission of the Gamers?
So, as I sort of spoke about before, our mission is really to have women connect with each other, to have people who are women, who are femme-identifying people, who are non-binary people, who are comfortable in women-centered spaces, to have this opportunity to have a safe space with each other and have a space where it's easy to find each other. Because what we were finding when we were researching the market and researching what people were interested in was that a lot of women love playing video games. They really do, but they don't love the abuse and harassment that can come with playing these video games in male-centered spaces. And they're just, I mean, I think that there's been a little bit of a shift recently, which is exciting. You know, the needle's always moving a little bit more towards these big platforms and streaming platforms like Twitch and Discord stepping in, and, you know, the big gaming companies saying, this is not okay anymore. I guess I'm talking about like having, there's this culture within the world of gaming that can be very toxic for women and for people of color, and for people that are that don't really fit the stereotype of being a cis male who, you know, just plays video games and has been reflected in the advertising and marketing of the gaming industry for many years. And so we seek to create a space where it's easy for people to find each other, and where they can talk to each other about games and geek out about games free of harassment, where they can also, you know, gaming is very social. And a lot of times women feel excluded from the social aspects of online player-to-player gaming because they are, you know, dealing with all of this harassment that can come in those spaces. And so they feel like it's not for them. And so, but they would love to enjoy the social aspects of being able to find people who also love playing games with them and, you know, have the same obsessions about certain games and the same, the same obsessions about certain games, the same interests outside of games, and can find and make friends that way. I mean, people make friends that way all the time. It's just a little bit harder when you don't know whether it's a safe space for you to be there. And so we're hoping to create a place where it's easier for people to find each other safely and connect.
Yeah, I think, that's absolutely brilliant, because I joined out of curiosity, like the Discord, because I was like, I wasn't actually too sure. I didn't do my research. I just found the Discord link on Twitter, and I was like, okay, this is quite interesting. Because I'd never seen it, like, done before, you know, because I've joined gaming communities, and it's just, it's shameful what you see in there. Like, I won't go into it, but it's just shameful the amount of harassment and bullying that people do in those, like, you know, communities. So it's nice to see that gamers are, like, you know, being role models and showing people how we should, like, act, rather than, like, you know, I don't know. I think it's just, like, breaking the cycle that's been going on too long, you know. You know, it's hard to explain. Like, I don't want to go too much into detail, but it's like, there's just been, like, there's just too much horrible things that go on in the gaming industry, and it's nice to see that gamers are making a change, and, you know, they're making a safe space for, you know, female gamers, and, like, oh, goodness, what have I done to my Zoom? Oh, sorry, I just hit a button. That, like,
oh, no, it's all right.
Yeah, okay, we're good now. Yeah, I didn't have it on my screen. I'm so sorry.
Don't
anyway.
So. Yeah, definitely. I think that we are definitely interested in creating that space, and I'm glad that you're seeing that reflected in the Discord.
And it's like, it's nice to see as well, you get people involved, you know, there's competitions hosted, and there's even the GameHers Awards, isn't there?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, so would you mind telling me a bit about that?
I'm happy to talk about the GameHers Awards.
Okay, great.
So, the Gamers Awards are a new initiative that the Gamers has launched. We're having a big award ceremony on November 19th, 2020 on the Gamers Twitch. And what it is as aligns with our mission, we're very interested in highlighting and supporting women, non-binary, people who are comfortable in femme-centered spaces and femme-identifying gamers who are stars and excellent in the gaming industry. And so we want to create even more of a spotlight on people that are often overlooked and often don't have that space of equity that will elevate them and create an award ceremony just for them. So we have many, many categories. It's been community nominated. We have received many nominations. I don't think I can speak about exactly how many, but it was way more than we expected. And we, we're looking forward to being able to have the community vote on all of these people who have been nominated and then to announce these winners and create a little bit more publicity and more spotlight on them to highlight them.
I think that's a great idea. Like, I haven't looked too much into it, but from what I've seen, it's absolutely brilliant. What are some of the categories that you can, vote for or vote in?
Definitely. I mean, we have, like, esports player, top esports player. We also have, like, community leader. We have people who, we have different categories that span from esports and professional esports to community leadership, to social media, to development, and then, you know, within the esports world of broadcast and analyst. And so we are featuring like all different aspects of the gaming industry and what it means to be a professional in that space, also streaming. There's so many aspects of gaming that people do professionally and they also do socially. And so we're trying to highlight several different aspects of those different sects of the gaming industry to shine some light into the great work that people are doing.
Yeah, I think it's absolutely mind-blowing when you like break it down like that, because gaming used to be like quite small and tight-knit, and now it's just massive. It's a massive industry, you know. There's esports, you know, you can professionally stream. There's just, there's so many different paths you can go down within gaming now, and it's absolutely mind-blowing to see it, you know. Like, and it's great to see that, you know, you're trying to give more people recognition as well by hosting this awards ceremony. And
yeah, I think, yeah, like we, it's our goal to show, I think one of the big themes that's come up, especially also in my job as blog editor and communications manager, is that representation is extremely important. It's something that we see over and over again when we talk to women who work in gaming professionally across different aspects. We have this career spotlight series that I can talk more about, but representation has been a theme that is so important to so many people. And what I mean when I talk about that is that if you don't see somebody in a role within a job, within a movie, like, then it's much, much harder to imagine yourself growing into that role. And so part of what we're trying to do with these Gamers Awards and with lots of initiatives that we have at the Gamers, along with just creating a space where casual gamers and professional gamers can connect with each other, is to show our whole community and anybody who wants to join our community all of these different ways that you can make a life out of gaming, and that you can make a career out of gaming, and that if gaming is something you love, that you don't need to necessarily subscribe to the narrative that's been existing previously of that gaming is just for the boys, it's just for these top executives in suits, it's just for people in their basements who don't ever leave and never see sunshine. Gaming can be for all kinds of people, and it can be for you too. And you can also, you know, do that on the casual level, or you can make a career. And there's so many jobs within the world of gaming that don't even fit into professional streaming or into getting streaming sponsorships or into being an esports player. And I think a lot of people don't even think about that, especially when they're very young and they maybe don't have a lot of examples around them of ways that they could make make gaming a bigger part of their life. And so we're trying to spotlight all of those different ways and all of this great work that's being done, and really give recognition to these people who are paving the way for the next generation of professionals in the gaming industry.
That's great. That's absolutely brilliant. And that's kind of, again, one of the reasons I kind of joined, like, the Gamers community, like, the Discord, and, like, why I followed the Gamers on Twitter, because it's quite interesting to, like, kind of sit back and kind of learn more about, like, the kind of issues that are going on in gaming, and, like, you know, how you want to put an end to them, really, and, like, kind of break the age-old cycle of, like, you know, boys can only, like, play games and that sort of stuff, because I just find it wrong when it's like, oh, you know, you can't play this game, it's a boy game, you know, it's for everyone, you know? I try not to go too much into it, because it just annoys me, like, some companies aim it towards, like, male gamers, and I really think it's important to kind of, like, you know, show people that, you know, these things are for everyone. And, like, you know, certain game roles aren't just for men, they're for everyone, you know? Just, I don't know, it's just frustrating sometimes, you know, just to kind of look at it and you're like, oh my god.
I agree. I mean, we definitely are on the same page there. I think that it's something that we continue to explore and to learn more about. Actually, we're launching season two of our podcast, the Let's Play podcast, very soon. We launched the trailer last week, and our first episode goes live next week. And one of our guests this season is Brenda Romero. She is a game designer and developer, and she has this incredible background and incredible pedigree of games. But one of the things that she was talking about on the episode that I'm so excited for our community to hear is that historically, women have been very involved in coding and gaming. And it's only really recently that the focus of that understanding kind of societally has shifted. And so it's, you know, we're constantly trying to relearn what it means to be a developer, be a game designer, and like how to really see ourselves in the world as women in the gaming industry. So, you know, I guess what I'm saying that I learned from that episode is that I think that we're often told through the ways that games are marketed and through the ways that these big gaming companies have had historical hiring practices that women don't belong in games and that they, you know, we're never there. It's not something that women do. Girls aren't good at that. And it's like you're trying to overcome some sort of nature in trying to break into the gaming industry, but that's just not true. And it's just something that has been retold over and over again. And it wasn't how gaming started at all. It really, like, there were all these women coders and people who worked in computers and computer science throughout history. And it's just the way that we have been reframing this narrative to reflect only these like guy coders and gamers and scientists that has shifted our perspective, but it's changeable because it hasn't been this way.
Yeah, and that's just it, really. It's like, I feel like it's like not really shown and like marketed like female coders. Like, you don't really see, like, you always see like those stock images of like guys coding, but you never really see like females coding, or like, you know, it really bothers me that big companies, like, well, they're, you know, they're kind of getting into it more now, but like they used to like not do it as much, really. And it just it bothers me, like, that we're still not quite there yet, but I think there has been a big shift. Like, you can see there's been, like, you know, visible changes in how gaming companies and, like, you know, game developers have, like, promoted themselves and, like, their staff. They're, like, they're more willing to show that gaming is for everyone, when before it was a bit more, like, closed off, and I didn't really like it. You know, I always saw that from a young age, but I didn't really know how to describe it.
And yeah, I think that there is a shift happening, and I hope that we can be part of that shift. I think, you know, like you talked about coders and developers, one of the people that we featured on our Career Spotlight interview series was Zee Ebrahimi, who is a woman developer. She's like a front-end developer and designer, and she's also a woman of color, and she is very, very vocal about representation and making sure that people who are interested, and young girls who are interested in getting involved in the development industry, realize that there are other women there, you can find each other, and that finding mentors and finding people who have forged this path is so important in being able to lift yourself up and bring yourself into this industry. And then, you know, also on the flip side of that, it's really important. We've talked to so many, I've had so many great interviews with professional women in the gaming industry who have talked about how, if it weren't for these mentors who have really brought them up and shown them that they too can work in this industry, that they don't, you know, that they might not be where they are today. And so they try to pay that forward and really bring and mentor other young girls and be that visible person in the industry for people to see.
Yeah, I think that's definitely important, like having a visible person to see, or like a mentor, because I feel like that can really, you know, like, it can really like boost You're like, I can do this. There's other people in this industry that are doing what I love, you know, and they can like help and support you. And I think it's really important to, you know, show that more. Like, I feel that companies should be like, well, they should, well, they can do what they want, but it's like, I feel like what they should be doing is show, like, you know, giving people, well, it's hard, but like showing them that there's people there that are doing what they want, you know, like there's people in those roles, and they can be like a visible role model to like that you can achieve the goal of being a developer or being a director on a video game or being a coder. I think it's really important, even being a podcaster, you know.
Yeah, definitely. I think that it's really important, and I think that also these companies are really doing themselves a disservice by cutting out all of these capable and smart and powerful women that might be interested in joining their companies if they saw more of themselves there. One of the biggest themes that we've been seeing across the board with these professional women is that it is really hard to be the first. And, you know, it's, you know, you can be one of the first people in your department, and you have to deal with the burden that that carries. And that often, you know, often one of the problems we see is like with women who are going into male-dominated spaces, and for people of color who are going into white dominated spaces, which is everywhere, that it is often it's much harder to get people to stay than it is to get people hired, because the culture in these places has for so long been so homogenous and so used to just being like this boys' club that it feels like an exclusive place, and it's very hard for people to feel comfortable. And so until we're able to gradually shift that culture and show these candidates who might be interested in bringing their skills and services and brilliance to these roles, then it's going to be a turn off for them to want to work there. They would rather work somewhere that it's easier to be themselves. And so I think that when you talk about it being how great it would be if it was a top-down approach about showing that it's okay to we welcome you as you are to come to this space and contribute to our culture and our community and our work output, that is incredibly important. It's something that would benefit from it would benefit these companies in terms of the quality of work that they are able to output.
I definitely agree, and it's like I believe everyone sort of, you know, they have a gift there and or a skill, and I think it's important like companies, you know, sort of welcome that, you know. People are so talented. There's so many talented females out there in the gaming industry, you know, that make incredible art, you know, they're coding incredible games. I couldn't do it, and it's just it's amazing to see, but I just wish companies would voice that more, you know. And it's a shame that it's not happening as much as it should be, but I'm glad it is happening in like, you know, smaller spaces. But I definitely think it will, it needs to like, you know, it needs to be bigger than it is.
Yeah, I mean, we agree. And I think it starts small. And as you know, I hope that we're able to kind of shift the culture a little bit at a time. And, you know, equity spaces like the gamers are very important in a world that's skewed towards some sort of homogenous whole that is like different than whatever a minority group needs. And so having a space, you know, people sometimes ask us, like, why do you have to have just a women-centric space? And the answer to that question is that if you create a space where you can empower women that are normally in the big space oppressed or that don't feel comfortable really like standing up and saying, this is who I am, like, this is what I have to offer, or just, you know, on a smaller scale. Maybe not in the professional way, but just in a gaming way of having confidence and having gaming confidence and saying, I'm going to leave this team, or, you know, I'm so like such a noob when it comes to actual gaming technology and terms, but you get it. That that in cultivating that confidence in that space, you create a stronger like space of like all of these women who have the spot where they can go and say like, hey, I'm dealing with these issues. Like, how do you guys deal with this? How do you sort through when people are trolling you? Like, what are some strategies that you use? And it creates this space where you have all of these women that are more empowered to go out and face the world that wasn't necessarily catered towards them. But that's what we're trying to do.
Yeah, I think that's great as well. Like, I've seen that in the Discord. I'm more like, this doesn't sound weird, but when I look there to learn and kind of educate myself about what's going on in gaming. It's less like, I'll say hi in the chat and everything, but
right.
It's less of like, I don't really want to like, I don't want to misword this, but I don't want to like feel like I'm kind of like, what? My brain.
Centering yourself.
Yeah, I don't want to center myself in like, you know, I don't want to be like that guy centering myself into a female community or like forcing myself into it. I just want to kind of better educate myself so I can help, you know, I can like retweet or help spread awareness of like the issues that are ongoing. So I think it's like important if people are curious to like, you know, maybe give it like, just give some of the issues that female gamers face like a look in terms of like, you know, just reading up about it and better educating yourself so that, you know, it's easier to identify some of the time.
Yeah, I mean, we had actually, that's a great point too, is like, what is the role of male allies in a women-centric gaming focused space? And I think that you're speaking to it very well. And we had a writer, Paul Mason, who is based in Ireland. He was very interested in exploring that issue. There was a big resurgence of the Me Too movement this summer, with a lot of women coming forward and bravely sharing all of these stories of abuse within gaming, within like big gaming industry, big gaming industry networks, within places of work, within their own spaces on Twitch. And so Paul really dove in this summer and wrote this piece about what does it mean to be a male ally. And a big part of that is listening and providing the space for women to share their stories and to really exist and be honest about what's going on. And then to be a person who stops that kind of behavior when they see it in male-focused spaces, and also takes accountability for their own way that they've been indoctrinated into the system of sexism and misogyny, and to also spread awareness of what's going on. And, you know, to take a moment of humility and say, hey, there's something here that I might not necessarily realize all the time because I'm not personally facing it, but that doesn't mean it doesn't exist.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like, I mean, I'm still quite young. I'm like 18, but I remember like a few years ago, I'm not proud of it, but I was a bit more like, you know, I was like, I don't know, like, it's hard to like, I don't really want to misword it, but I kind of ignored the issues, you know. I didn't really want to, like, you know, face them or, like, think they exist. I think I was just ashamed, really, like, that gamers of, like, you know, my sex are, like, you know, they're bullying and harassing female gamers. I think it's awful, you know. And I think for a while I was just, like, I just kind of ignored it and I was ashamed. But this year I thought, you know what, why not educate myself so I can help, I can listen to what's going on and, you know, help put a stop to this, you know, like, say I'm sitting in a party with someone and a female gamer joins us, I can pull someone up on, like, you know, making a, you know, an offhand comment to them, like, oh, you can't play as well as us, you know, you're not skilled, but...
Right.
I think that's important, you know, to, like, even if, like, no one else, you know, backs you up on it. I think it's important to, like, pull someone up on a comment they made or, like, you know, a post they said. So maybe they might not realize what they're saying at the time, but they can go and also better educate themselves on, like, how they've, you know, treated this person and, like, it's wrong that they've done it. And hopefully, you know, they can have a bit of humility and, you know, realize, you know, what they've done is wrong.
Absolutely. I think that you're talking about something that's really important, which is that, yeah, calling somebody out and educating somebody else about how their behavior might be affecting somebody is, it might not necessarily be a popular choice at the time. And it can have, it can feel very isolating to the person who's doing the calling out and to the person who is being confronted. But it does plant a seed, and over time, even if it doesn't necessarily, you know, even if it causes some sort of blow up in the moment, it's important to establish this culture of, like, this is not acceptable. This is not who we want to be anymore as a gaming culture. And I think that when you have a status quo that's conditioned people to say that, you know, being very sexist as a troll and harassing people is okay because that's how it's always been, then there's no way that anything's going to change, because unless you make an active step to change something that's always been a certain way, it will just remain the same. And what you're talking about is so important as, like, these small steps that we can take to just plant these seeds of saying, this is, we're going to make a shift away from this being the status quo. This is not going to be okay anymore. And then over time, hopefully, if enough people decide that it's not something that they want to put up with, then it doesn't, it's not the standard culture.
Yeah, I definitely agree. Like, I've seen a lot of changes recently. Like, a few years ago, I joined gaming communities and they're quite toxic, and, you know, there wasn't really many rules or people kind of stepping up saying, hey, this is wrong. But now I look in, like, the Discords I am, which is, like, quite a few, and, you know, there's people stepping up if someone says something that, you know, they don't think is right towards another person, you know, and, like, we'll, like, you know, we'll ask the person that's had, like, this comment made towards them, are they all right, do they need any help, do they feel safe, you know, and, like, you know, we've removed that person immediately from the community. And that's kind of what I aim to do with my brand. I want to make sure that people feel safe and, like, that if there's any issues, they'll be nipped in the bud straight away. Like, the person will be gone, like, if they make a crude comment, you know.
Yeah, I mean, that's fantastic. I'm so glad to hear that.
And I think, as well, a big part of that was, like, you know, me joining the Gamers Discord, and it kind of, it inspired me to, you know, kind of make a new brand to kind of be an ally to the female gamers and, like, all gamers, you know?
Yeah, I love that. I'm so excited to hear that our community has had that impact on even just one person, and it sounds like it's had it on a couple, so I'm so excited to hear that that's the case. That's really, it means something that we're hoping to move towards is moving that way, which is really exciting.
I know, and, like, I think, as well as, like, it's just, I think it's exciting to see all these new companies, like the Gamers and, like, you know, I can't really think of any other one but mine, like, you know, kind of rising up and, you know, kind of creating that platform where people can feel safe. And I don't know, I feel like it brings a lot of, I want to say, humanity and, like, you know, emotion to gaming, because a lot of, you know, you can just game with someone and, like, you just have a casual game, but in my experience, like, in these communities, I've had more of, like, a connection with these people. I feel like I've met a lot of great friends through gaming communities, and it's great to see, rather than, like, you know, just having a casual game. It's really important for me, like, when I have guests on the podcast as well, to, like, learn about the people behind, like, the gaming. So I had, like, Mick Malamphy, who is a really talented actor, on my podcast. I've had
a great
episode. Oh, you actually listened to it?
Yes.
Oh, thank you so much. Yeah, it was great sitting down and talking with him. But also had a streamer called Ant Keeps Gaming, and I just like listening to, you know, like I like making the connection and listening to who these people are and why they wanted to get into gaming and what like what their passion is behind like, you know, gaming. I think it's really interesting to hear those stories.
I mean, I think about that a lot too, like as the blog editor and as like communications manager, and I've been doing some work on the podcast too this season, I think about my job for the gamers a lot as being a storyteller and being somebody who connects the dots and is able to facilitate people being able to share their stories when it comes to gaming and when it comes to what gaming means to them and what role gaming has played in their lives. And and also, you know, there's so many different ways to look at the stories of gaming. You can look at it from a historical perspective. You can look at it from a design perspective and how gaming makes you feel when, you know, we just had a great piece go up on the blog about sound design and the way that sounds affect this particular gamer when she is playing a couple games that she described in more detail. And so I think so much about how it's that gaming, you know, it's not going anywhere. It's only getting stronger and more developed and more a part of our lives. And so how do we relate to that as people? And how do we, you know, see gaming as something that makes us human in a lot of ways and share that with each other? Because that's so beautiful and exciting to me as a way not only to relax and to have fun and unwind, but also for self-expression, for social connection, which is what we've been talking about a lot. And just like how does this relatively new mode of relating to each other and to these games impact us and relate to our social fabric with each other?
Yeah, I think that's really important. And another thing that like I really like about people's passion for gaming, I know this is going to sound like a strange comparison, but you look out the window and you see like clouds outside. No one cloud is the same. So with gamers, I think it's a very similar thing. You can ask a gamer, oh, what's your passion for gaming? They might say, oh, it's the acting and the storytelling. Another gamer will be like, oh, I don't really like the acting and storytelling. I like to just play it as a pastime or a hobby, you know? And I think it's really quite interesting to hear those stories, because you'll never get one story that's the same. You'll always get a different answer every time, and I love that about gaming.
Yeah, I mean, that's also something that's come up in interviews that we've done with people who are behind making games. I talked to a narrative designer who's based in the Netherlands named Julia Newman, and she talked so much about, she had a theater background, I also have a theater background, and we talked for a while about how gaming is such an exciting medium as a creator, because you are constantly aware of your audience's experience, and yet at the same time, you have very little control over like what it feels like for an individual player to experience your game. And so you're always taking care of your audience member, like your gamer that you're creating the game for, and yet like no two playthroughs are going to be the same, because people think differently, they explore like the kind of like confines of the game that you've created. Like once you've created this space, like people are free to roam, and so they have these like really personal experiences, which is like so exciting from a creator's perspective as well.
And that's like one of the things as well that I found as a gamer myself, like when I go and switch on my PlayStation and I load up Red Dead 2 or like I play any other game, I'm like one of those gamers that appreciates the little details, you know, the leaves and the flowers and like all the textures, you know, because I just look at it and I'm like, someone spent hours doing this, you know, they went through concept designs, they've went through, you know, just like rough animations, you know, and like they've probably went through that so many times. It's just nice to appreciate the little details or like the conversations you hear in the game if you spend more time exploring, because they're the ones where you'll hear like the I want to say, like, you'll hear, like, the most interesting things, I think. So that's how I kind of view games. I like kind of appreciating everyone's work as well as, you know, playing GTA and robbing a bank. I like to appreciate the details that someone's worked hard to put into the game.
Absolutely. Yeah, I agree. Especially now, and especially in like these very world immersive games.
Yeah, it's absolutely crazy, like how immersive games are nowadays.
Yeah.
Yeah, I spent a lot of last episode. It isn't up yet. I'm still editing it today,
Yeah.
but I spent episode 3 speaking to one of my friends about an upcoming game, Cyberpunk 2077, about how much detail's been put into it, because it was originally a tabletop game called Cyberpunk 2020, so it carries on from the lore in that game. So it's quite interesting to, you know, I guess kind of go back into the roots of like some of the games you play. Like, I remember Red Dead Redemption. Like, I know there's only one game, but I looked at like a lot of old Western movies, like the Clint Eastwood movies, you know, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And I thought it was nice to kind of learn about the genre and appreciate, you know, it a little bit more. And I think it's like really important to do that with games. It depends how people want to play the game, but I'm one of those people that just, I don't know, I'm just a big game nerd.
Yeah, I mean, I think that you're not unique in, I mean, you're a unique person, but lots of people also, you know, have expressed that like getting lost in these really detailed worlds and seeing the adaptations and really seeing the source material that, you know, you're talking about Western movies and things that these designers have put, you know, they're artists and they've taken just as a, you know, a movie director or a screenwriter would take all of these reference points and these inspirations and adapt it into this thing, this movie that you would watch and have like an experience. All these game designers and narrative designers and writers and actors have created something, and it's, I mean, the hours that you spend on it are so much longer. Like they've really, you think of, I mean, it's no wonder that Red Dead Redemption 2 took so many years to make because it's just like the product itself is so long. Like there's so much content there that drew from so many places. And yeah, I mean, it's really fun to geek out about all the stuff that goes into it because it's really impressive and amazing.
Yeah, I think as well, another thing that I've noticed with AAA games, especially like, you know, Rockstar titles and Red Dead especially, right? I think Red Dead was one of the first Rockstar titles that I saw a lot of female characters, because there's like the camp girls, and I know Kylie Vernoff hosts the
Yeah.
Gamers podcast, which is really awesome. But I think that was one of the first games that I played where I saw a number of, you know, different like female characters from like different backgrounds, and like, you know, it's just great to see that, you know, Rockstar's kind of like, you know, once Rockstar goes in that direction, I feel like a lot of companies sort of follow along as well, because they tend to hold their cards close to their chest, and when they release like a product, it's really quite big, and people are like, wow, this is the next step in gaming. And I thought Red Dead 2's representation was absolutely amazing in terms of like, you know, having the female characters there.
I mean, I think it's definitely a step forward. We can always do better, and we can always find more ways to tell stories that are women-centric or are that center people of color and people of different backgrounds and different means. But games are storytelling, and so what they focus on at a given time is relevant to what that specific story is and what people are interested in playing. And I think that they reflect yeah, they reflect the time in which they're made, and they also move things forward into the next time, which, you know, you talked about with like Red Dead 2 being a leader in how it inspires other games to respond. I hope that more and more as we move forward, we'll have more and more games that are that center women characters, that center all sorts of different kinds of people and different kinds of stories. And then, you know, also gaming can be fantasy and can be all sorts of things that, I don't know where the sentence is going, but I'm excited to see where we go next.
Yeah, me too. Like, I think, I'm really excited for, like, the next generation of consoles and games, because I can't remember the game, but I saw a really interesting game when they PlayStation did their reveal event for the PlayStation 5, the first time we saw the console. There was this interesting game where you play as this, like, this woman or girl. I can't really remember, but I remember it vividly. She had, like, some sort of power where she could, like, see things before they happened, and I thought that was quite interesting. It was like an interesting game, and I really want to get my hands on that and see how that plays out and what the story's like there, because it's quite interesting, like, having a game where you have a female lead, because I haven't seen much of that, and I hope that as, you know, next generation games come and whatever, like, you know, Rockstar or Bethesda produce next, they can maybe give us a bit more, you know, more female characters that you can actually play as, because I feel like that's the one downfall games have, is not having female characters you can play as, because I think it would be different to see, and it would be a nice experience to, you know, play as, you know, Sadie from Red Dead, because she's quite cool, isn't she? And, like, you know, I think they need more. I just think it would be great, you know? I mean, there's so many strong female leads in, like, the Spider-Man universe. I hope they do, you know, I think a Spider-Gwen, she's quite cool.
Mm-hmm.
I just hope they do.
Yeah, I mean, I think that definitely speaks to something that Verda, our one of the co-founders and the community officer, I believe that she was talking on recently one of her Twitch streams about how... you know, when you're playing a game, you are playing the character, you know, when you're playing a role-playing based game. And so if she, as a Black woman, doesn't have many opportunities to put herself in a character that looks like her and that she sees herself in the world, like, that, what does that say about what we value and what's important in the world? And also, like, then it I guess what I'm trying to say, also, the flip side of that is that when we put ourselves in the role of a character, when we're playing as Arthur Morgan, that automatically builds empathy as the player with that kind of a person. And so if you have more opportunities as we move forward in the gaming industry to put yourself in the shoes, literally, of somebody who doesn't look like you, who doesn't have the same background as you, that is a way to create empathy with more people and more experience. More people with different experiences in the world, and to really give you a sense of being like, hey, like, I can be somebody else, and what does that teach me about their experiences?
Yeah, I think as well, that's one of the reasons I'm really excited for Cyberpunk 2077, because it allows you, it gives you freedom, basically. You can create your own character, you can be female or male, you can be, you know, any ethnicity or, you know, skin color you want to be, and you get to really choose your own path and, you know, take ownership of the character you play as, you know. And I think that's important for games to have. I know, like, you know, Rockstar have, you know, really quite linear games with set out stories, but I think that's what I enjoy about Cyberpunk. They're doing it differently. They're letting the player take ownership of their character, and they're making you decide who you want to be, so you can relate to the character more. And I think it's really great that they're doing that, and, you know, paving the way so hopefully more developers and smaller game companies can follow the lead.
Yeah, definitely. I think that it's so important. It's also important to build up smaller developers and people who are, like, independently building games, and to seek out those smaller games and game studios, because, you know, it takes so many steps to get to the point where you're a funded AAA game. But there's lots of people who are telling stories and creating games that are from their perspectives and from their own imaginations, who have a much smaller following, or are, you know, just independent game designers who are building up their own library of their own work. And so seeking those kinds of games out as well is very exciting and a great way to see more of what's out there and really find representation of other people's interests and imaginations and stories.
Yeah, I think that's definitely a good point to touch on. Like, indie developers are definitely, you know, people should go and support them on, like, Steam and other gaming platforms that they can, because they produce some, like, great things, and I can't imagine the hours, like, they've had to spend, you know, overcoming and problem-solving all these, like, different, you know, coding problems or, you know, designing the characters. I can't imagine it, you know. Rockstar's like a massive unit, is like a huge worldwide team, and then you have a small developer. Like, I could be developing a game in my bedroom here, you know. Mm-hmm. It could be just a one man or one woman team, you know. It could be anyone, literally. Someone could be doing it on their laptop, and I think it's really important to not only look at the great AAA titles, but also, you know, support the smaller ones, maybe even send a donation their way, or, you know, tweet it out on Twitter to kind of get, like, the momentum going so the word spreads about their game.
Yeah, definitely. I agree.
Mm. And I think also the way games are marketed as well, I think that's a big that's like a big point that game developers usually make. Like, they've definitely, for example, CD Projekt Red, they've got Cyberpunk coming out, and I think the way they've marketed it, where you get to create your own character, I think that's really important. And I think as well, it's just, you know, doing something different, like, you know, they're not being afraid to do something different. That's what I think gaming companies should, you know.
Right. I mean, it's like, as is the case in any kind of, like, big market art versus something that's smaller and more independently developed, is that you have to be willing to take a risk to make something good. And often, you know, like, you want something that is that takes on a new perspective, that does something different. And sometimes that can feel like a big risk for a big company to spend a lot of money and time on. And they want to make sure that they're going to return on their investment in the time and money that they put into it. But if you don't take a risk and you don't really showcase, like, these different ways of thinking and ways of exploring the world, then the product suffers. Like, if you don't go out on a limb and say, we're going to do something different here, then it's very hard to distinguish yourself in this market. And so, yeah, it's all related in how we think about things that are independently developed. And a lot of times people that don't have the pressure on them of, like, a big studio and those kinds of investor pressures are able to work in a more creative way. Of course, then they also have to survive. So how do we balance those things?
Yeah, exactly. And, like, I think as well, it's quite interesting to see, like, some of the marketing strategies that, you know, companies use nowadays to promote their games. I mean, I can't really think of an example other than Cyberpunk at the moment. That's, like, the biggest upcoming one. I can't really think of any smaller ones at the moment. But I think as well, like, a great attraction to Cyberpunk is the fact the character's name, I think, is very, like, gender neutral. The character's name is V, so you know, I think it's great to have that sort of, like, you know, they're really letting the player, you know, be themselves.
Yeah,
like,
and decide.
One second.
Decide who they want to be.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, I think, like, so much of what you're touching on is that I think sort of what you're getting at that's interesting is that gaming can be a way in which you choose to express yourself.
Mm.
And you can choose to, like, decide who you're going to be in the world of the game, because the game is not the world. And so you have a chance to try things out and to say, like, in this gameplay, I'm going to express this part of myself that maybe I don't necessarily express in real life. Like, I'm going to play as XYZ. And the way that games have previously maybe been marketed in the mass culture, it's like telling you who you're going to be, and how you're going to identify with these characters. Of course, it's also dependent on the story structure and how it works, but an opportunity for a game like what you're describing, Cyberpunk, I think is what you're saying, is that it's giving more of a space for you to decide as the player how you're going to express yourself and to not necessarily prescribe that in advance. And that's very progressive in the way that, and it relates to the way that we think about identity and we think about gender expression, and that that we're moving towards a world that is less prescriptive, I hope, and more inclusive of letting people make their own choices about how they feel they best want to express their true selves and also express their fantasy selves. And so I'm excited. That sounds like a really exciting development.
And I think as well, like, I've thought of a few more examples, but I think sort of game developers shouldn't strive to be the next rock star. What they should do is be like, okay, I see Skyrim, Minecraft, you know, they let you, and Fallout even, they let you be free. You can create your own character. You can express yourself in any way possible as, like, the player. And I think that's what game developers should focus on, is, like, how the player can express themselves and how they can, like, you know, it's all about kind of, like, having that freedom and not limiting them. I think it's past limiting them to playing as Mario the Italian plumber. I think it's more important to let you know, let the player create their own character or download or create their own skin into the game, you know. And I think it's important to have that creativity and be open to your, you know, your audience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's one way to approach gaming, definitely. It's to be, like, an expressive, creative medium where you're really determining a lot of what your experience is going to be like. And of course, then there's the other way, just to disappear into somebody else's story and build empathy that way. And, you know, to take a ride as another, you know, person, creature, fantasy person, like fantasy character, and have that experience and try on those shoes. So there's definitely different ways to go about it. You know, gaming is such a wide range of experiences, and there's no like right way to play a game. There's also like so many different games that can create a different kind of playing experience for their players.
I think another like example and kind of like I don't know, similarity is like you know, Lego, how they give you the sets. And you can you can follow the instructions, or you can build whatever you want with the bricks. You don't have to build the set, they give you the instructions, but you can create whatever little figures you want, you know. And I think that's sort of like what games are sort of striving towards now, is like, you know, customizability, and, you know, just like, you don't have to do it by the rules or doing a linear story. You can do it how the player wants and how it suits the player. Because I've noticed that as well. There's an upcoming Lego Star Wars game, and before they were quite linear, you know, you have to go to this area to complete this level. They're now letting the player travel to whatever planet they want to. They can complete whatever movie they want to and go to whatever level they want to first. And I think that's really great that Traveller's Tales and other games, I think even Among Us as well, they let you customize the little characters how you want. And I think it's just great that they're doing that, you know.
Yeah, it is. It's exciting for sure.
So I'm not sure if I asked this, but what does your work as blog editor and communications manager entail?
Sure. I mean, I sort of touched on this earlier. A way that I think about this is my background is in theater and also in marketing. And I think about my job as being somebody who helps to facilitate storytelling of people's experiences from within our community to each other and to the world. And so what does that mean? On a tangible level, that means that I am editing blog pieces that our writers submit. I am conducting interviews with our Who Got Game features. We have three different components of our blog, I should say. The general blog, which is freeform pieces that can be about anything related to gaming. The Who Got Game interviews that are about gaming tips and come from casual and professional players. And then our career spotlight pieces that feature professional women in the gaming industry who are not necessarily professional players or streamers, but have created careers for themselves professionally that relate to gaming or gaming adjacent industries. And as we talked about before, representation is important. So it very much fits our mission to show all of the ways that these people have created jobs for themselves in the gaming world. So yeah, my this circular answer, but I want to, you know, make sure that people's stories are clear, that they are able to be shared far and wide, and that they are also showing up for each other, that we're showcasing people within our community to the rest of our community to create increased visibility, as we've talked about, the visibility is so important, and to create a space of expression. Yeah, and that's pretty much, you know, the focus. And then along with that, I also have been working to curate kind of supplemental material to our other content mediums, like our Twitch channel. Mm-hmm. We have some show notes on our website that are complimentary to our Twitch channel that I facilitate and work with the Twitch creators to add there so that people can find more information. And then as well, we are, I'm working on a podcast, so I'm working on facilitating.
Yeah. Where can, oh, sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead.
All right, I was just going to ask, where can my listeners go to find this amazing content?
So definitely you should go to thegamers.com. That's the thegamers.com. And you can click on the blog. There's a drop-down menu for the different blogs that I described. We also have information on our Twitch channel, Twitch TV. It's The Gamers, The Gamers, as it's spelled. And then the podcast is called Let's Play Podcast. And season 2 is hitting next week. So I don't know when this interview will come out.
It will come out next week.
Yeah, we'll probably already have a couple, one or two episodes up. We're starting, kicking things off with Sharon Muthu and Noshir Dalal, who are these incredible motion capture performers and voice actors and actors who have this like great resume of all these credits. And they have this, they're also old friends with Kylie Burnoff, who hosts. And you talked about that Kylie is one of the Campfire Girls. Yeah. She plays Susan Grimshaw in Red Dead Redemption 2. She's our host of the season, of both seasons of the podcast, and season 2 is coming out. And she has these great interviews, these great conversations with all of these guests. So it's really exciting. We have some great guests this season.
And I'll make sure to link all of like your social media in the description when I upload it to YouTube.
Great.
And I'll try and like fit it onto Castbox. I'm not sure how it translate over to Spotify, because my RSS feed from Castbox goes onto Spotify, but I figured out with episode
we'll
2
that,
I'll figure it out. But like,
they can go to thegamers.com. Yeah. Always information there, and we're The Gamers on all social media.
I think it's really awesome as well. You got Noshir as well, who's also a Red Dead actor. He played Charles, I think.
Yes.
Which is great, and I think he's amazing. Like, I've never like spoken to him or like met him yet, but I think he's really cool in Red Dead, and I think he's done some like other amazing work that I need to check out. But
it's great. It's a great episode. I've been working on it, and I'm really excited for people to be able to hear what they talk about.
It's awesome that like Kylie hosts it as well. I know this is a bit off topic, but she's honestly brilliant. I was very fortunate to meet her at Comic Con in London, and she's just brilliant. She's so nice, you know.
She's the best. She's an amazing host, and like some of the conversations that she's able to facilitate are just so insightful and fascinating. And you know, she talks to all different people across the gaming industry, developers and actors. And we're having Roger Clark, who plays Arthur Morgan, in one of the episodes.
Oh my goodness!
It's gonna be a good one. There's a lot of stuff, a lot of great personalities coming up. who share all of these insights that they've had throughout their careers. And it's really just, it kind of spans gaming and the gaming industry and what's important to these actors and developers and designers and broadcast hosts as people and as professionals. It's going to be a great season. I'm really excited.
I'm excited now. I mean, I'm like even more excited now. You've mentioned Roger. Roger's brilliant as well. Like,
It's a good one.
Oh my goodness. I can't wait to listen to that. I'm going to have to get...
I know. You got to get ready. Get your popcorn. Get everything set up.
That's kind of like a You Heard It First Here thing. I don't know. Am I allowed to have that in or should I like...
Yeah, no, you
okay,
are. We've
okay.
announced it.
So all right, great. Like, I didn't know if I had to cut that or anything.
I would love more people to tune in.
So. All right, great. So GameHers is a space that highlights and celebrates how gaming has positively affected women. What types of themes are you seeing emerge on the blog?
So I think that, you know, I've talked about just people sharing what gaming means to them. And on the blog, people talk a lot about how gaming has helped them deal with, like, lots of different things in their life. And, you know, I talked about how gaming is something that's really a unites us as people and as humans and as part of this, like, human experience. And I think that's really reflected in our blog from our community members. They really span from something like, we have a writer, Victoria Von Black, who talks about how playing Tomb Raider helped her with discovering this gender dysphoria that she had and how it really helped her reckon with being trans. And so, you know, you can have an experience like that with gaming. And then we have had somebody write about how gaming was something that was, video games was very powerful for her in dealing with grief, our writer Jackie. And so it's just been a whole span of different ways that gaming relates to people's lives. And then, you know, we've also had writers talk about the history of gaming, and we've talked a lot about marketing on this podcast episode. And how the history of how game marketing shifted to being about men and target demographics, and that's been super interesting. And then we've had somebody write about sound design and how sound design affects her emotionally when she's playing games, and how important of a design element it is that's often overlooked. It's been a whole span of different experiences. One of our first blogs was about a woman named Caitlin who wrote about how playing Dungeons and Dragons was very important in her to her life as an autistic woman because the role play allowed her to experience and step into the shoes of practicing social interactions as these different characters. And so it's been very powerful as somebody who's been facilitating, like, making sure that these stories are told, to see how much gaming has had an impact on people's lives and that there's just so many different ways that people relate to games and have games be an expression of themselves and their experiences.
Yeah, I think that's wonderful. Like, I'll definitely check out the blog because I really love reading. I don't read as much as I should because there's, you know, like, I just get sucked into, like, Twitter and everything. But I'll definitely give those a read because they sound really interesting, you know.
Yeah,
and it's I think it's just incredible hearing about people's experience with gaming and, like, you know, hearing how, like, the sound design can affect, like, a gamer as well. I think that's quite interesting. I haven't really, like, that's actually something I've been thinking about when you mentioned that, is, like, it's quite easy to, like, I don't know, but sound design's really important to, like, the way, you know, games are built. Like, I've just kind of, it's just kind of sunk in how important sounds are in games. Like, so I'll definitely give that a great, like, you know, read. I'll take my time with it so I can soak it in.
My writer, Jess Alford, writes about it. It's great, so I recommend you take a look.
All right. And, like, also, I think as well, what you said, like, about how Tomb Raider helped,
Victoria.
Yeah, Victoria. You know, figure out, like, oh my god, Sorry, I'm gonna redo that because I really
Okay.
want to like make sure I get the correct
Okay. No,
terms.
it's okay.
Yeah, so.
So Victoria, here, I'll
All
read
right.
it. So that playing Tomb Raider helped Victoria von Black discover, or let me, Victoria von Black come to terms with her transness and helped her grapple with gender dysphoria.
Okay. Thank you for
Of
that.
course.
I just. Yeah, I just like that's one of the biggest things as well. Like when I'm recording these episodes, I really want to make sure like I'm not like a perfectionist, but I want to make sure I
Oh,
get
I
like
understand
the
that though.
correct terms, 'cause like
Yeah.
I'd hate to
It's
like, you know,
important, yeah.
yeah. It's very important, but yeah, thank you for that. Anyway, 1 second. Yeah, this is I'm still learning about like all the
No,
podcast stuff and
it's okay.
interviewing. It's like, you know, I'm quite new to this and I get quite nervous before my interviews sometimes. So,
All
yeah.
good. You just have to create a couple little pockets that you can like edit around, and then you're golden.
Yeah, I do. I've managed to like do that and I think I've done like pretty well this episode.
It started
But
raining where I am, so I don't
oh.
know if it's like creating a lot of feedback right
No,
now.
it's great. It's the sounds fine. It's perfect.
Great.
So, the game has also celebrates professional women in the gaming space. Who are some of the women who have been highlighted on the career spotlight pieces?
So the career spotlight pieces are a little bit different than the rest of the blog in that they feature professional women. And I talked a little bit about this throughout the rest of the interview, but we have Zee Ebrahimi. She was a developer and a front-end developer. She talks about what it means to be a girl coder, and she talks about coding as a superpower, which is super exciting. And then we talked to narrative designers, Julian Newman. We talked to an entrepreneur who runs like a gaming, she makes gaming glasses, Jenny LeBron, and we talked to how many people? Oh, an esports lawyer, Krista Heiner, who works at ESG Law, which you know, I didn't even know that esports law was something that people could do. And you know, if I didn't know, I know that a lot of our community members didn't know, so it was really exciting to be able to profile what she does for work. How many? We actually recently had a great interview with Brittany Latanzio. Brittany Latanzio, who works at, she is a senior talent manager for Team Liquid. So she talked about what it means to be a talent manager at on an esports team, and an esports team that's that big. And that was super exciting. One of the themes generally that these women have given as advice is that you know, that you have to really have mentorship and have like these spaces of women that you find, either women or men in the field, that you find to empower you and to teach you. And also, I think that there's been a lot of talk kind of across the board about knowing your worth, believing in yourself, and building self-confidence to come into these spaces, even if they're male dominated, because you, as a professional, once you realize what your skill set is, like you have something to offer the world and offer these professions. And so it's important to do that, and to not shy away from the difficulty of being the first person in a space. That said, it's also important to realize once you are one of these women in this space to pay it forward, to show other women that you're there, that you can be a mentor to them. Because having that representation really shows prospective career people that they might be somebody, that there might be space for them at the table.
Yeah, it really like does, and I think you touched on this already, but what are some of the common threads in the advice given here that may help my listeners and your listeners as well?
Yeah, I mean, I sort of talked about like believing in yourself. I mean, that sounds very hokey, but it's very true. It can be very easy to be, to have the industry get to you and believe that like you don't belong there because you're a girl, and that you don't, if you don't see a lot of other girls working in a certain field, that it can be very daunting. But that you should, if that's something, if you're interested in pursuing a certain career, like you should go for it. That's, you know, very basic. But also, like more specifically, I think thinking about what it is that you love and what it is that you can offer value, what it is that you bring to the table that offers value to the industry, and then learning how to market that and bringing that into various situations is especially important when the odds are stacked against you. So discovering early on and leaning into what those aspects of yourself are that really make you stand out and make you an excellent addition to a team. How can you bring that with you into your job interviews, into places that you work, and believe in that and trust that so that you can really shine your light as bright as possible?
Yeah, I think that's like really important as well. And I think that's like a great thing to touch on is like definitely believing in yourself. I struggled with that a lot, especially like the past 2 years, I'd say, like just figuring out what I wanted to do and like, you know, who I wanted to be in terms of like, you know, what like job and career I wanted to pursue. Like I literally had so many ideas before I decided to set up a podcast and do this gaming brand. I wanted to be a film director, I wanted to be a police officer, I wanted to be like a, you know, I didn't know what I wanted to do, but I think it was important, like, you know, finally figuring out like I wanted to do something gaming related and, you know, finding these people like obviously, it may be different for other people listening, but finding people like Roger Clark and, like, you know, Kylie Vernoff and, you know, just, like, even developers like Rockstars, just, like, finding the people that can empower you to, you know, just do something, like, step out of your comfort zone and, you know, pursue your dreams. I think it's really important, and it's, like, I've kind of figured that out sort of like going along and talking to people as well with my podcast. I was really nervous for my first ever episode setting it up. I think I took like 3 takes, but I'm sort of getting there, you know, like I'm figuring out how to set up the interviews and doing everything. Like it's difficult. I'm a one man team, so I'm doing the editing, I'm doing the, you know, I'm contacting people, reaching out to them, promoting.
It's been an experience, I think. And you'll learn like it's a lifelong journey of gaining confidence and believing in yourself and moving forward. But I think that you kind of, as you start small and like do a podcast that is, you know, one man team based or a very small team based, all of the different things you have to do, you learn what you love the most and what you're good at and where you want to put more energy and where you want to put less energy. And hopefully over time, you know, you just like continue to pursue those things and you specialize just by practice.
Yeah, it's definitely like not easy. Like I didn't know where to start. I mean, I'm still like getting there in terms of like, you know, kind of setting merchandise and stuff up, but I just figured that stuff sort of comes later on as I like build a community. At the moment I'm just trying to like, you know, build as many, well, not as many, but, you know, just try and build a following so then I can eventually pursue, you know, merch and stuff. I mean, like the Gamehurst didn't happen overnight. I assume it was like, you know, it was a long process to get to where you are now, you know.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it takes time and it takes like a lot of energy and talking to people and messing up and fixing it. And it's a process. It's, you know, nothing happens automatically and nothing happens without hard work, especially when you're going into a field that's like very, what am I trying to say? Like, especially in entertainment and especially in fields that are kind of new and unknown. You have to, there's trial and error and practice involved in every aspect.
And I think as well, it can be quite difficult being in an industry like gaming, where there's a ton of companies, like, you know, sort of media companies and just like podcasts. I mean, podcasts are everywhere. People have like podcasts, you know, about true crime and stuff like that. It's like, it's hard to be different, you know, and try and get your like yourself out there. But I just think by putting it into the universe and eventually just like, you know, promoting it as much as you can and sharing it, I think and also the connections you make, I think they're really important to like the key to success. I didn't really want to say success because it sounds like, you know, I'm only doing it for fame, but
I understand. I mean, your definition of success can be different than somebody else's.
I just think success to me would be like, you know, just having a big enough following where I can, you know, I have a platform where I can, you know, voice these things a bit more. I mean, I'm doing it now on a smaller scale, but it'd be nice if I had a larger following to, you know,
Never know. You
yeah.
can always blow up overnight. But yeah, I mean, it's I think it's great. I think you're on the right track and you're already getting a lot of people to talk to you. And just, you know, that like you're practicing, like, and I don't mean that it's like that this is a practice round. I mean
Yeah.
that like the more that you do something like on a, in a professional context, the better and more comfortable you get at doing it.
Yeah, I think like today's episode as well was like really great in doing that, you know, just like, you know, I had the questions sent to me and it was like
Yeah.
more of a professional format, so it's like it was really great for me to like sort of get the feel of like how it would be if I go, like, I'm not saying just like an even more professional interview in the future, you know.
Yeah, for sure, definitely. All right, I have like a 5 minute warning, but because I just have to like jump on another call.
That's
But
absolutely fine.
if you need, so if you are editing this, and I'm assuming that this part's not going to be in
Yeah,
the.
no, it won't be in there.
But if you're editing this and like you're like, oh, I need to get like a cleaner take of something, like I'm around, like we can like jump on and do like
All
a
right.
20 minute like
Yeah, no.
thing.
Yeah, this is absolutely fine. I'll cut that bit out, but I'll wrap it up now because I think, yeah, we've been recording for about like 1 hour and a half, so it's gonna be a good episode. So,
Great. Yeah. I mean,
all right.
if there's anything, I think we hit all the points I want to talk about. So if there's anything that,
Yeah.
but if there's anything that, like that Victoria line or anything that you're like, oh, like I need to, like, or if I cut myself off and it was confusing what I was saying and you need to get a cleaner
No,
sound,
I think it was absolutely fine, you know. I think
okay.
it was
Well,
great,
let me
but
know. I'm happy. I understand because I've been doing these podcast editings as well. And if you need something that's a little bit easier to understand, like I'm happy to jump back on quickly and we can just do like
Thank you.
a quick like run through of a couple
Honestly.
questions if that makes it easier.
No, it was an absolute pleasure. Let me just do my outro and then,
Sure,
you
of
know, we can
course.
end it. So, thank you so much for you know, taking the time to be on the Gamers Universe podcast, Alexis. It's really exciting to interview someone from the Gamers, and I hope I can interview you or another member of your team in the future. So,
Yes, I would love that. Would love to come back.
thank you so much for listening, everybody, and have an awesome day.